Drop the beat.
This is it, what? Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich, what? The GG Bronze and Sugar Dimes can't quit, what? Now pop the cork and see the Vega and get lit, what? Introducing Phantom of the Dark, walk through my heaven with levitation from research and deep as an.
You are tuning into the 444 Profit Podcast. We are your hosts. I am New Haven, here with my main man, JD. What up?
What's the word? 1 week off, which is kind of a nice, it was awesome. I loved it. I planted a garden.
What my wife is doing.
I was fucking, hey man, I got peppers, I got kale, I planted a fucking artichoke. Like, we're ready to roll over here. Obviously, you know, in our where we live, it's more or less the best ground in the entire world. So, helps out.
I didn't know you even had a yard, bro.
Oh, bro, come on. I got a fucking, yeah, it's beautiful.
What are you talking about? You don't think you've always lived there?
I
thought you were living in like an apartment or something.
Nah, bro, no.
Nah, bro, I don't do that fucking ghetto shit.
I'm poor, don't get me wrong. I'm not that poor. Yeah. Dell match play, fucking over it. Glad I didn't bet it because it's a complete fucking crapshoot. But you know what was nice was the Honda. This is the funny thing about the shit, right? I can hit, I can outright and lose money in full tournament head to heads, and I get fucking 10 new followers. I get 120 retweet. Like, it's a fuck. Everyone's just like, you know, jerking off. It's like, okay, cool, which is fun. Outrights are great. I went 9-2 in full tournament head to heads at the Honda. Missed the outrights, and for me, I mean, that's way more money. Now, going 9-2 and then hitting outright on top of it is obviously an amazing thing. But 9-2 in a full tournament head-to-head for the way I bet, which I've made very clear, full tournament head-to-head stakes are a lot higher than the outright stakes. If you're following any other way, listen. You should have been listening.
A unit is a unit. So you
not for me. I put the unit as a unit as for fucking Twitter because it's a lot easier to keep track. If you listen to this podcast, you know the full tournament head-to-head stakes are four times what the outright first round leader any of the other bets are. I mean, that's been the way.
So shouldn't that? But okay, hold on. Let's take it for instance.
I've made that very clear from the very beginning.
But listen to what I'm saying. If you, let's say your unit's $100,
mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's which is what it is.
Okay, now if you say we're gonna have our sheet,
yep.
Or whatever, and let's say I want 0.10 units on player X.
Yeah.
That's 10x.
No. That, but see, here's the thing. I do that for Twitter because people don't like that's just how I put it on Twitter because it's a lot easier just to keep track of full units and call it good. I bet more on my full tournament head to heads than I do on my outrights or anything else. And that's just, again, this is not new fucking news. I mean, it shouldn't be new to you either. Like, this has been the case forever. Maybe I haven't made it clear enough. But, like, the full-term head-to-heads are a substantially larger portion of my bankroll than the outrights, definitely than the first-round leaders. Now, for the purposes of Twitter, for me, it's easier to keep it all the same. I don't need – like, even with keeping it all the same, it's profitable. So it doesn't really matter. It's not like anyone's losing out here by any means. But
yeah, that's interesting. I just assume, I mean, when you say –
when you full-term head-to-heads have always been a higher stake than any other bet. And that's just because, again, they're something I've been profitable on for years. And also, the VIG in the outright markets and the first-round leader markets is so high. You have so much to overcome. Whereas, you know, I can get minus 110. I get, you know, the 2%, 2.5% in the full-term head-to-head market. So, again, you're fine if you're not betting like that. But for me personally, I make way more money on full term head to heads. And I've that's been the case forever. And I've said that.
Oh, I wouldn't disagree on making money from more consistently, definitely on full tournament head to heads. I was just talking about the staking. That's interesting.
Yeah. That's always been the case. That's always been the way. And I've said that. I've made that very clear on this podcast before. So,
right. But I'm saying if they're thinking like I'm thinking, then.
They're still fine. They're actually
there's a no-brainer that your full tournament head-to-heads are greater than your just by doing the math. I mean,
easy money.
That's more than four times, actually, if you think about it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, and again, do it however you want. The year's up 56 units, so it's not like you're losing anything doing it else otherwise. But right now, the full tournament head-to-heads have taken a big hit. They're up 16 units, right, for, you know, compared to the 56. For me, that's a lot more because I will bet more on those because they're more stable. Now, why don't I do this for Twitter's purposes? Because it's fucking hard to explain. Like, we're even talking about it now, trying to figure it out. It's a lot easier for me, for all the followers, just to put it all there at once. People who listen should know that that's the case. And if I haven't made that clear, that's completely my fault. I feel like I have. If I haven't, now you know. And if you listen to this podcast, you know you should stake more on the full tournament head-to-heads than you should on anything else. Fair?
Listen, it was never a question. Yeah. The question is just the
issue
is now you put a whole bunch more than I think you do, or a whole lot less on
everything else.
Everything else. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and why not just call it four units on each head-to-head when written out? And that's a great question. It's because people would take four units and they don't understand how to manage a bankroll, right? So like part of the reason why I do it like I do is because if I actually gave those numbers, the people would completely mistake how I actually bet to their own detriment, to be honest with you. It's not a four unit. If anything, what I should do is I should make the full tournament head-to-heads a unit and then make everything else a quarter unit. But at the same time, that doesn't really help anyone either because no one would bet that shit. They'd be like, a quarter unit, fuck that. He's not very confident. So again, come here for the context. And if I haven't made it clear, that's my mistake. It's always been the case. You can go back and longtime listeners know this. I bet more on the full tournament head-to-heads than I do on anything else. Mostly because those markets have so much fucking vig. It's very hard to overcome. Or you just get minus 110. You get the normal 2%, 2.5%. So that's how it works. Again, it doesn't really matter because you're up fucking 56 units no matter what you've done if you bet everything.
Yeah.
So whatever. But that's the way it is. I want to make that clear. I guess I've been poor at explaining that, but you know, it's better now than ever, and it's not like it's hurt you at all.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you guys are following us, I mean, pretty sure. I don't know anybody else who's crushing it over the last 3 years and putting all the stuff up.
I mean, I bet everything. Like, you have to kind of.
Just saying. Yeah. Just saying.
I bet everything. So, whatever. All right, let's move on. What do we want to talk about? Dell? Fuck the Dell. That's a dumbass fucking tournament to bet. Glad
I didn't
bet it.
Why do you think that? I do want to have a short little synopsis. Yeah, let's do it. Why do you think it's a dumb tournament to bet? I think historically I've done very well at the Dell, especially since I love betting dogs. You see who won the tournament. You see who was in the final eight or whatever. It was a whole bunch of who in the hell is this? And historically, it's just a great time just to bet a whole bunch of dogs, especially in match play when real golf goes out the window because, you know, Jordan Spieth can make an eight.
Yeah.
And still be in the tournament.
In that perspective, I think you're onto something. I like to ground my bets in just some kind of statistics, like some kind of analytics. Like, I'm not like a full-blown blind analytics guy. And I'm mostly because I'm not smart enough to figure that shit out. Like, but I watch more golf than anyone. I put in the time. I put in the research. So, you know, a lot of my shit's subjective, right? Well, I still have the basis. The very first thing I do is I look at numbers, and you just have to throw those fucking things all the way out. And I don't like doing that. Like Matt Kuchar has had the worst form. The guy has been a full fade for us all of 2021, and now he's fucking in the semis. It's like
you're just giving credence to what I'm saying. Look at the last eight guys, and actually,
I don't disagree with you, but I personally can't just blindly bet fucking dogs. I just can't do it. Like,
I wouldn't blindly bet dogs, but I'm like,
let's just go over this real quick. I have it right here. Look at the quarter. So, John Rahm, obviously elite, third seed. Correct. You have Horschel, 32nd seed. Victor Perez, 31st seed. Kuchar, 52nd seed. Fleetwood, pretty elite guy, 21st seed.
Used to be.
Yeah, not so much this year. Guy's been playing absolutely dog shit. Sergio, 39th seed. Scheffler, the 30th seed. And Harmon, the 54th seed. I mean,
that's last eight, right? Or last eight?
That's the final eight. Like, what are we doing?
That's what I'm saying.
So my point is there's no stats or analytics you can look at to point to these fucking idiots being in the quarterfinals.
There isn't.
So if you want to blindly bet all the fucking dogs and try and figure it out, yeah, that's probably the play.
The correct stat. I know there's no stat for that. The correct, you know, the reason why we are successful is because we are able to identify edges. And because golf has so much variance in it, and the books will overrate DJ being a minus 250 favorite in a head-to-head matchup and match play,
it's like Mac is the wrong
price. It is the wrong price. That's what I'm saying.
So I guess maybe when we look at it next year, and you know, we can try to remember this. Maybe what I can do with my numbers is that I just crunch them all down, and then, and then kind of similar to what I've done in the round by round head to head market, which I've been really successful in this year, is one round is so much variance that no one is that much better in at this level, right? You're talking about the 60 best guys, 64 best guys in the world. No one is that much better over 18 holes. Now, over 72, you're going to get some differences, right? Even over 36. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. And again, the other thing for me is, bro, we've been absolutely fucking pounding pavement, ground. We've been working our asses off for the last 3 months, you know, since the beginning of this thing. It's nice to have a little bit of a break right before we're about to get four fucking majors in 4 months. Think about that. Four majors in 4 months. Masters, PGA, US Open, British. Hoping the British happens. So a week where it's a little bit random and your numbers are kind of thrown out the door just to fucking kick back and hang out, I think that's what I use this week for, because I bet a little bit, but in the end, it's fun to watch. I had a great time watching it on Wednesday and Thursday. Don't get me wrong. And we did well on the round one, but we did well on the first day and poorly on the second. But at the same time, I just don't know how you can figure out who the fuck's going to do well. Because there's also a lot of really bad players who didn't play well. Like, you know.
Of course. Well, that happened. They're not supposed to. But the pop-ups. But
even the like, round of 16 is a joke. I mean, the only guys in the top 10. Oh, my God. Like, the round of 16 is even worse. Fratelli, Streelman, Hughes, Perez, Poulter, Van Ruin, Harmon, and Spieth. Again, Spieth has been playing well, but none of the Perez at 31st is the highest seed. Like, what? Like, how could you ever figure this shit out?
Hey, share the live, please. There's way not enough people in here. That's first of all.
Yeah, it's all right.
What is the other thing I was gonna say? Oh, the other edge in this thing is the prices for. Like, the prices are so good for those guys to get out of their initial bracket.
Yeah.
Are almost good. They're good enough to bet two.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you might as well just bet two. Like, in JT and DJs, you could bet two dudes and be like, all right, cool. So, all right, fuck this. Let's move on. I'm done with Adele. Adele's stupid. You know what we need to recap? It's Punta Conta, Joel Damon, baby. Go Dawgs.
Damon.
Go Dawgs.
Holy shit. Hold on. Before we get to that.
Punta Conta.
Oh, the hell on. Somebody's alma mater Washington is in the fucking up. Final Four right now.
Oh, wait, yours? Oh, Houston? Nah. Too bad you got to go against the Pac-12. I mean, if you want to talk about the NCAA tournament, it starts and ends with the Pac-12.
Listen. My school actually has a history going to this thing and making some hay. Now, dude, many of you guys were not born when it happened.
Calvin Sampson, these motherfuckers don't even know, bro.
Calvin Sampson wasn't that. We had Clyde Drexler.
Oh, Clyde, not Clyde. Sorry, I'm thinking about the Rockets. Yeah.
Two Hall of Famers on one college team and couldn't even win.
Was that Phi Slamma Jamma?
Phi Slamma Jamma. My school, oh my God, I couldn't do it. I mean, bro, people on Facebook going nuts. You know, people I ain't heard about talk about our school in a decade or whatever. I'm just giving a little shout out to the Cougs.
I didn't even know you went there. Shout out, dude. That's awesome.
There's some I think people in our chat have some tickets, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, there's a lot of Phi Slamma. Yeah. There's a good enough, good amount of Houston.
I would give a shout out to Russ. Russ, thank you very much, dog.
Love Miss Batman. Good shit. Yes. Well, hey, get that thing ready to play in the outro, please. But let's move on. All right, here's my question for you. Do you want to talk about the Valero Houston Texas Open, or do you want to talk about the Masters first?
So I guess I'm not abreast. I'm going to find it. So you're telling me that Valero is in Houston?
No, San Antonio. The Valero Texas Open.
I'm about to say, you're like, what?
Valero
what
Texas Open. Sorry.
Valero Texas Open. Yeah, we'll hook you.
Which one do you want? Which one do you want first? The people want.
It's the time for the for-profit preview. What's the course set up this week?
I think the people want Augusta first. Or do we make them wait? Because I have some Augusta takes that need to be heard by a lot of people.
Looks like we, that's called a teaser in the business. So
you want to tease it?
You guys, I think,
look, here's the thing. The people who are in the chat now, I think we need to reward them with this information. They're hanging out. They're kicking it. They're banging some claws. Let's go Augusta first.
Okay.
All right. Play the drop. Play the drop. No, but Steven, we need this information this week. It's very important. I'll tell you why shortly after the drop.
Cannot stress enough. This is one of my favorite tournaments. Where do you rank
drop? Where's the drop?
No, I'm gonna get it. Where do you rank Augusta for your majors?
What? Is that even a question?
Bro, I don't know, bro.
What? There's no, it's not even close. You can't even combine the other three to equal this.
Are you
sure? Can't even combine. This is it. This is the fucking Super Bowl. This is the US Open's cool. The PGA is nothing. The British Euros love it. Come on, man. This is the fucking tournament everyone dreams about.
It's that time of year, folks.
Hello, friends.
The dogwoods.
Azaleas. Bloom.
You can hear the ghost of Arnold Palmer creeping around Amen Corner.
What's the sandwich that they give? What's that sandwich?
Pimento cheese.
Pimento sandwiches are being eaten.
Is that Tiger? Nope. He's not there.
Rip, by the way. God, sucks Tiger's not here. But hey, 19 will never be topped, in my opinion, for me, in our generation. Okay, very important stuff for the Masters. This is important. This is why we're leading this podcast with it, because guess what? No one gives a fuck about the Valero Texas Open.
Not true.
No one cares. But I do have a full card for that. But no one gives a fuck. So let's just start with that. Secondly, Brooks Koepka is going to withdraw from this bitch, right?
Going to withdraw from this tournament?
Yeah. Like, the dude, everyone says he has, like, a fucking torn, like, PCL or ACL or some shit. Like, he's going to withdraw.
Well, are you sure, bro?
No, I'm not sure, but I'm... we haven't seen him, and if you look at, like, Azinger said that he's out 6 to 9 weeks. What the hell are you doing?
I'm getting the paper out so I can write down the stuff for the card.
I love it. Okay. I'm like, what the fuck? This guy's got a fucking ledger.
You know, normally, oh, you know, I have my, you know what? I have my iPad right behind
you. You know, there's a fucking thing called Excel, right? You can just type it.
I know, but I use my iPad. It's much easier.
Okay. So here's the thing. Brooks Koepka is going to be out for this golf tournament. I don't see how he plays. By all accounts, he's gone. Okay. And this is very important because he's holding a 20-1 in most shops, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, but just think about this in the concept of a market, market analysis. If Brooks is holding 20-1 in this market, that's about 4% of the market, right? Because 20-1 has about a 4% win probability, probably a little bit less when you count in the vig that they, the books will have. So at the least, he's holding 2-3% of this market in just his price, right?
Well, so we're saying we got some edge right there.
So when he WDs, they have to distribute that 2-3, possibly 4% across the rest of the tournament. They have to take it back.
Right.
Which means the numbers that we have now for pretty much, I would think it affects the top of the market more than it does the middle guys, right? But we saw what happened with DJ this week, and we've seen this throughout the entire season. DJ has withdrawn from two tournaments, and Rahm withdrew from one, and the top of the market got completely shaken up to where you were, if you didn't get in before, you're losing even a 0.5% to 1% of an edge on those guys. They will peel back that 4%. Let's just call it 4%. They'll peel it back. and they will lower the odds on the rest of the guys, especially on top of the market. So I think it's very important to get in now with your bets before Brooks WDs. And guess what? If Brooks doesn't WD, I have a Brooks number already. I think most followers probably do. It's not the end of the world, right? Because you're just going to have the number that's available as it is. Like, it's not going to change, right? Just because you got in a week early and then you get in a week late and he actually somehow stays in the golf tournament, you just have the same number. So it's imperative, in my opinion, to fill out your Masters card now before he WDs. So important that I'm actually going to take a trip up to Tahoe. It's about a 2.5-3-hour drive for me. And Circa has some insanely good numbers. Shout out to Circa. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to fill out my card tomorrow.
What?
I'm going to give you the bets that I'm going to make right now based on Circa's numbers. And I'm going to go up there tomorrow and fill out my card.
The numbers are good enough. I may just have you forward, you know, just, you know, shoot you the cash out.
I mean, I'm down because some of their numbers are absolutely bonkers, and it's a great sports book. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful sports book. So, very important. If Brooks WDs, you're especially top of the market now, the middle, the 50s and 60s guys, and this is why it's even more important, because I don't think the 50s and 60s guys can actually win this golf tournament. Like, I think there's a very select few of guys who can actually win this thing, right? And I think it's coming from the top. So if you want to get in on JT, the Brysons, because Bryson would go from right now, you can get him at 1250. He'd probably go to 10, right? And right. I'm just going to give you the converter right here. So 1250 is a 7.4% implied probability. Okay. 10 is a 9.1%. So think about that. That's a little less than 2% total edge that you're losing by waiting.
Season or
very simple shit here. Because here's the thing. Even if you wait, like even if you bet now and he plays, you're just getting the numbers that he's at now. Right? So you're not really losing anything. So if he somehow plays, and this is the scuba for you, if he plays, these numbers won't change. They'll just be the same. Right? But if he doesn't play, now you have at least a percent, maybe a percent and a half, maybe even 2% edge on all your bets. So that's why it's important, in my opinion, to get down now. So let's talk about the Masters card. You ready?
Si, senor.
I have Brooks at 20-1, probably dead. Like, I would say it's 75-25. I don't know how he can play from everything I've read. I have Cantlay at 30, which is beautiful. Love that number. Would you agree?
I mean, the number is fine. I don't know.
He's ready.
Something said, I don't know what it is about him. He just
slow play where he's fucking shuffling his feet all over the place.
I don't think Augusta is right for him. I don't know what it is. I see him winning a strategic U.S. Open more than Augusta. I don't know. I see him.
I'm with you. I don't know if he can. His game is just all around.
I see him like an old Webb. That's what he kind of reminds me of.
We'll get to Webb. I will have a bet on tomorrow. I'm literally driving to Tahoe right tomorrow and placing these bets. I will have a bet on Patrick Reed at 37-1.
Okay.
Thoughts?
I love it.
Okay.
Patrick Reed is the most.
That's a ridiculous number.
Disrespected. Decent player, but whatever. I mean,
we know that we've talked about
this. As long as he's bet on the people that are hated, bet on the people that you hate, folks. Listen to me,
it's a market.
I've made quite a bit of money betting on people that I do not like in sports.
Yep, it's easy.
I love the Texans. Ask JD, I bet against them all the time. It's been very profitable.
Absolutely, Colin Morikawa, 33.
Love it.
That's a bet. I think he can win this thing. That's just a joke. I mean, the guy has a fucking WGC and a major. Like, at this point, you know, he should be in the 20s. And my numbers put him there. My numbers put him like the 22, 23. So, you know, I have a Spieth bet that is not available. And I don't necessarily think anyone should bet him at its current number. I have a 45 on Spieth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was widely put out and widely available when I did
show. I remember. Yeah, I remember.
I have here. This is currently available right now, and why I'm going to Tahoe. 60-1 on Webb Simpson.
That was the early bird for you.
60-1 on Webb Simpson. Is that the early bird? I love it.
Yeah.
60-1 on Webb Simpson.
Wow, is that still available?
Circa has it right now. I'm literally here. Watch. I'm gonna pull up the app. You guys can't see this because it'll be, but I'm telling you right now, Circa has 60-1 on Webb. Part of the reason why I'm going up there is to bet Webb on at 60-1.
Okay. Okay.
Let me just make sure I'm not being an idiot. Webb 60-1. Boom. And then I have a Molinari at 100-1.
Molinari.
He's showing some form.
Well,
I made that bet about 2 months ago. I'll still take me 100-1. I'm fine with it. It's just, you know, there's no Ed. I mean, there's, you can get that now.
If you don't have Webb Simpson on your card
at 60-1.
Come on.
Two straight top tens, by the way, there. Three straight top 25. Like the guy, and it's just a perfect form because from everything I'm reading, it's gonna play hard and fast. That's a great thing for Webb because Webb is one of the best putters on tour, and the dude hits his irons. So here's my question now. We have to go. I'm going to go up to the top of the market on a couple of guys. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm wondering who you would take at these odds. Okay. You ready? I'm considering three guys. First, I'll tell you who I'm not considering. I'm not considering John Rahm. I don't like this baby fucking angle. Like, I like my Masters champions to be completely fucking locked in. He's basically made it clear he's not. Do I think he can win the Masters? Actually, I don't, because I don't think he's a good enough iron player yet. Although he has been playing well. You know what? Let me look this shit up real quick. He has been hitting his irons pretty well this year. So he might be ready to go. Let me just make
sure. We're on John Rahm right now?
Yeah. I just don't like the distractions. What are your thoughts there? He's basically said that if he has a lead on a Sunday and his wife goes into labor, which, I mean, he's a fucking multimillionaire, so I'm pretty sure he can figure out how to, like, fix that. Like, hey, man, you want to just wait for a second?
You know what's interesting is these people can afford to, like, have a baby at home now.
Yeah, just fucking hang
out. A lot of people are having babies at home now.
Dude, he's been killing it on the approach. 4.7 at the Players, 4.8 at the Genesis, 5.4 at the Waste. I mean, that's what he needs to win Augusta.
Steven says he's got Molinari at 125.
Love it.
Now.
Now. Well, I mean, I wouldn't take that now. I was trying to get ahead of it because I thought he was playing well. And he just kind of.
That would be so crazy. You know what? Go ahead and put me down for Molinari.
He's a major winner already, motherfucker.
Preaching to the choir, sir.
I mean, come on.
Easy.
All right, Rahm, okay. 1550. Okay. Put that right there. Okay.
Rahm at 15. Are you asking me my opinion?
No, I'm going to give you four guys, and I want to know which one you like the best because I'm going to go up top of this market. And I just don't know which guy to go with. And so I'm looking for your opinion. I have an idea, but I don't know which one to go with. So hear me out.
You already know where I'm going. Go ahead.
Rahm 1550. Let me go from top to bottom and make this easier. Dustin Johnson, 8.5-1. Okay. JT is actually the second favorite at Circa at 11.5-1.
Yep.
Third. Bryson, the bully, 13-1. And then fourth is Rahm at 15-50-1. And if you really want McIlroy at 16, like, you can, I mean, go for it, bud. Like, I mean, that's a fucking dead. Like, that's dead to me. So of those guys, and you're not going Rory, obviously. Of those four, who are you looking for? Who are you looking at?
All right, so John Rahm.
Rahm at 15-50. You're out.
You're out.
Why?
John Rahm is out. And we're talking about the four guys. I mean, of those four guys.
Yes.
He's not. He's just not. I don't.
You have to bet one of them.
I don't think he's there. Okay. I don't think he's ready.
Okay.
And he's got distraction.
Yep.
DJ. Talent. Great talent. 8-1. Defending champ.
You're out.
Oh, God. Okay. So we're between Bryson at basically 13 and JT at 11.5.
You said Rory?
Oh, come on, you're not going to be a fucking Rory, are you?
No. I'm saying that was the other guy.
Yeah. I mean, we're just.
You're out.
Yeah. So Bryson, and it's funny because these are the two guys I cannot figure out between Bryson and JT. So
it's not even close. And
not even close.
I am a big Bryson fan. I just don't. When you look at the tournament that Bryson crushed, okay, let's think about we were most high on him at the Open.
Mm-hmm. God, we're giving away all of our content for next week. We're just gonna dump into this tournament, I guess.
Well, maybe just giving away the top. Maybe just like in the top of the board.
We can rehash it. Fuck whatever.
What I'm saying is this tournament is set up because everybody can kind of reach.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the same edge, in my opinion. Okay. So that being said,
before you give that, let me just give a little devil's advocacy here. Cause I don't necessarily disagree with you by any means. Let me just give a little devil's advocate. Very few people in the world have the pedigree of Bryson DeChambeau. And those that do have a green jacket.
Have we?
Yes, you're funny.
Have we gone through? But there used to be. I used to give the parameters for the Masters winner.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. Here's the thing.
Those parameters got me on Patrick Reed. By the way,
I don't blame you, and I get it. And we're on Reed. Think about this for Bryson, real quick. Just real quick. Give me something here. USAM champion, NCAA champion, US Open champion. How many people have won those three things and haven't won a green jacket? I would say actually none of them have, because I think it's Arnold, Jack, Tiger, and maybe Lee Trevino.
Phil?
No, Phil didn't. No, Phil didn't win. Phil didn't win a USAM, I don't think.
Are you sure?
Nope.
I think they said Phil won everything.
Well, I don't know. Phil's not on the list of that. Though it's like Ryan Palmer, Tiger, Jack, Arnie, and then one, like I think it's like Lee Trevino or something who have won USAMs and NCAAs.
What about Sergio?
What do you mean? He's never won a fucking US shit. He never won NCAA.
No, I think he won US Amateur though.
Oh, whatever. Maybe he did. But my point is that when you win,
I know it's a short list. I got it.
Like you're gonna like it's like naturally you're gonna win a Masters.
Okay.
And people want to talk about his fucking driving distance. But, bro,
he putts
one of the best putters on tour. But more importantly, he's hitting two clubs less than every fucking par three. So he's the best par three scorer on tour.
Yeah. The only thing about it, I agree that he is hitting two less clubs, but those par threes at Augusta, especially except the last one, which is not that difficult, but the other ones, bro.
Okay, we're giving away all of our Masters content. We got to stop. I'm not going to make a decision about this right now. So we're between JT and Bryson. Tune in next week to figure out
where we're
going. Okay, that's good. And so that's basically the card right now.
Maybe
Bryson train.
I have who I mentioned, and I'm going with either JT or Bryson, and that's it. And then we're just gonna fucking go. We're gonna ride.
Maybe we don't. I don't know. Yet. Anyway.
Okay, let's go, Valero.
I'll do the course preview here.
God, we just talked about all this podcast is full of fucking information, by the way.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what we're
literally gave away everything for next week. We'll just say it again. It's fine.
It's the time for the for-profit preview. What's the course set up this week?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Course preview this week. We are coming up on the Texas Valero Open. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, I will actually be in Houston.
Oh, hello.
Tomorrow. If anybody wants to play some golf or want to hook up, let me know. Maybe do like a mini Houston version of Okay, we are at Texas TPC San Antonio, the Oaks. Par 72, from my recollection, one of the hardest courses on tour. Water, those weird, what do they call them? Cactus slash like rough areas are everywhere. 7,400 yards of pure hell.
It's a hard golf course. Although, didn't Corey Connors like absolutely destroy this fucking place?
Corey Connors, when he's hitting that, when he's putting, Corey Connors is amazing.
That's a good point.
He's like, no, for real. I mean, it doesn't matter what course he's on.
Yeah, he was at, he was at 20 under. Landry went at 17, but before that, it's been like low. I mean, it's been very difficult.
Okay, listen. Listen, everyone. The easiest holes on the course are not, repeat, are not the par fives in their typical form. The four easy, the typical format typically being the four easiest, but instead make up the sixth easiest hole on the course. The par five, 14th, plays easiest, giving up 2% of eagles to the field as an advantage. That's pretty high rate for eagles. The par four, 17th, is the second easiest, and it measures around 358, giving players a chance for a flip wedge. And maybe into 10 feet. The third easiest hole is the par five second hole, where birdie isn't a given, but does allow at almost 30%. The par five 18th and 8th are the 5th and 6th easiest holes on the course, giving up birdies at 20%. Most of the par fours measure between 4 and 450. Yeah. All of these holes you're looking at a par is a good score, as birdie rates drop to a sub 10% average. That's a course preview. Now,
yes, sir.
Let's go.
Who really fucking cares? I look.
I almost want to give him a layout, man.
I just don't care. I want fucking Augusta. Like, this tournament is very difficult to handicap. You have 200-300 to 1 winners. You know, depending upon the wind, it's going to play a whole different. Last year or a couple years ago, they thought a lot of wind was coming, so they started watering the shit down. Like, this is a very, very hard tournament. Any pre-Augusta, because some of these motherfuckers are going to, like, play, like, average on Friday or on Thursday and be, like, fully jacked. They're like, you know what? Fuck you. Get my ass to Augusta to get ready to go for the biggest tournament of the year, right? Hard, difficult tournament to handicap. With that being said, you want to talk about the top of the board?
Oh, baby. Top of the board.
Top of the board. Golfers, top of the board.
Three guys. Jordan Spieth.
Whoa.
Whoa. Who hasn't won a golf tournament since 2017? Is that correct?
I think so.
Is the favorite. And I think it's probably a deserving one, to be honest, with how he has played. You know, I mean, we can talk about Spieth all we want. And I hate to give away some of the Masters content we're going to do next week. But, I mean, we have to dive into this fucking idiot. 48th at the Players, 4th at the Arnold Palmer. Since like February 1st, only like Morikawa, JT, and my boy Chase Seifert have gained more strokes on approach than Spieth, which
Chase Seifert.
Yeah, Chase Seifert, actually, believe it or not. I mean, listen to this shit. Listen to this shit from Spieth. Gained 6.2 strokes on approach at the Players. Gained 5.5 strokes on approach at the API. Gained 4 strokes on approach at the AT&T. And gained 7.8 strokes on approach at the Waste Management. Like, this is elite shit. Like, not even good. This is fucking elite shit.
Elite.
I hope he fucking misses the cut, because I think he wins. I think he's fucking alive next week.
Hello.
Do you think he's live next week at this point, right?
Oh yeah, I'm a big fan of Seifert. I think he's got that. He's got that.
Speed. I'm talking Spieth, not Seifert. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
I'm talking Spieth.
Oh, I thought you said Seifert.
No, I did. No, those are Seifert's numbers.
Every time I,
those were Spieth's numbers. Seifert is well, he's been crazy on approach as well. I'm talking Spieth. Those were Spieth's numbers.
I was thinking Scheffler, not Seifert. I got you.
What the fuck? What are we even doing?
I'm sorry. But okay. Every time I see Jordan, I just want to.
Those were Spieth's numbers. 6.2, 5.5, 4, 7.8, and four of his last five on approach.
Oh, we actually talked about this at the beginning of the year, that the auto Spieth fade is done. We're no longer.
I'm not sure he should be. He probably should be the favorite here because this field sucks. Finau, 14. Scheffler at 17. Look. Scheffler played more golf than any human being ever over the last, 5 days. Full fade for me. We're going to get in some head-to-heads here that I have. Finau, you can't bet Finau to win any golf tournament ever. I guess if he's ever going to win, it'll be here. But
maybe not. I'll go, you know what? Maybe I'll make a trip out to San Antonio one day.
There you go. You're there. Why not? Boots on the ground, baby.
We need a boots on the ground drop.
Yeah, let's. I'll try to remember. Probably not though.
Yeah, if you guys have any ideas for you want me to make some custom drops, your boy. I'll be more than happy to. Maybe I'll do that as a giveaway or something. Make a custom drop for somebody.
Absolutely, I love it. I love it. Decky 21, not gonna win. Corey Connors 25. That's too fucking long. Ryan Palmer, Abraham, 27.
This is my boy.
I love Abraham. That's my first bet.
That's a nice number there.
I don't mind that.
That is a
Texas boy.
Hey, Abraham Ansa.
Answer to the rescue. On the card.
Are you home? Thank you.
Answer is definitely on the card. And honestly, this is a tournament where you probably just bet the field number if you have a bookie, right? If you have a local.
How is the field? Is it a winner?
350, bro.
Winner,
right? 350. 350.
The winner, I'm saying that our field's 100% this year so far.
No, I missed it one week, a couple weeks ago at the Honda. I missed it at the Honda. Because who won that again? That was 2 weeks ago. I don't know if you remember. So bad.
That was the one you kept in.
Honda guy fucked up the field. So there you go. But yeah, that answer at that number is on point. So we're good. You can't bet Siwoo Kim at 29. You can't bet Charlie Hoffman at 33. You can't bet fucking Ryan Palmer at
27. But I want to bet Siwoo so bad. Is better going to...
At 29-1, Siwoo Kim?
I mean, I want to bet him.
No, you can't. I like all these guys, though. I like Steele at 40. I like Kirk at 44. I like Davis at 45. I like Sam Burns at 55. What do you think?
Okay. This tournament sucks. I like Davis.
Cam Davis is going to win the golf tournament. That guy is a fucking baller.
Sam Burns has he's been playing well this year. Let me see.
Yeah, well, he was playing well until 2 weeks ago. The last 2 weeks, he's been shit in the bed.
What you doing, Burnsy?
What you doing? I like Lanto at 44. I'm just going to make my hay on this 40 and over group here.
Answer.
Davis. I'll have some Ryan Moore. I'll have some Burns Higgs.
Fifth on my model, sir.
Yeah, see? Yeah. I'm not going to have any Harold Varner at 46 or Munoz at 45. That's for damn sure.
Ooh, buddy. Look at this. Gained last 5 out of 6. Oh, but he still missed the cut, though.
God. Yeah, that's not great. I mean, Kuchar's 65 coming off the best playing he's ever done. He sucks still. I don't buy it. Yeah, I like Harry Higgs at 80. I don't mind Harry Higgs at 80. I mean, this is just – there's just – this thing, Doug Gim at 75 is probably my favorite.
Oh,
Gary Woodland at 80. I have
where
to bet
is
that.
The doorbell for that one?
Have to bet Gary.
Hello, Woodland. That's good. I like that.
The Gim 75.
I like Gim at 75. That is wiggy sweet for real. For real.
This is the first time I've looked at this shit because I just don't care about it.
Let's see here.
I like Gary Woodland at 80. Gary's got his driver back. All right, how about this? Would you have Gary Woodland at 80 or Ricky Fowler at 70? One has a major.
I will take Gary Woodland over Ricky Fowler. What happened?
To who, Ricky or Gary?
Did he leave Butch? He's left foot, right?
Ricky's swing is flatter than what Kyrie Irving thinks the earth is.
Oh, that was a good, that was a good quip there.
You like that? I'm here all week. I'm here all week.
Be in Vegas. Actually, we will be in Vegas.
We should have mentioned that. Next Masters. God damn it.
Do we have to mention this?
Hey, if you listen to this podcast, I bought a booth. We're going to be at the Circus Sportsbook on Thursday. First round leader sweats Friday. I'm thinking maybe Cosmo Friday for whatever. But most importantly, come down Thursday, hang out. The booth, we have a booth at Circa, not a big deal, but like, you know, whatever, whatever, it'll be fun. So if you're in Vegas, come say what up. Haven and I will be there. I think Sam might end up joining. Sam's picks. Ball Street, Matt will be there. So, yeah, we're going to have a good time.
Yeah, we told y'all we're going to Vegas a long time ago. So don't say we just popped. This just popped up.
So anyways, that's locked. But, yeah, okay, cool. That's kind of what I'm looking at. I haven't made any bets yet. I'm going to do it as soon as we leave here. But I'm going to go with – I'm going to have a Steele, Kirk, Davis, Burns, Higgs, Gim, Gary.
Palmer is 20.
Seven.
What in the hell is going on here? Are you serious?
He's got real issues with the
putter. Ryan Palmer at 27.
Yeah, he's a really good golfer. He's a lot better than all these guys.
But 27, though? I don't think I've ever seen Ryan Palmer 27.
No. I'm not betting.
I think he's sleeping in his home bed. I guess they're putting a little stock into that.
Yeah, fucking dumb.
Is anybody down at the bottom that maybe we get a sprinkle on?
I mean, Sam Ryder at 98.
Sam Ryder's got some talent. How about Adam Long? How's Adam Long been doing?
I'm fading Adam Long this week. You want to talk about head-to-heads? Because I have a bunch. Or not a bunch. I have like six.
All right. Hold on. Let's go over your – go over that one you're going with.
So I am going to have answer.
Yep.
Steele. Kirk. Davis. Burns,
yep.
Gim, Gary.
I'm watching you.
And Harry Higgs at 80. I'll put them all up.
All right. I am going. Answer.
Okay.
Steele.
Oh.
Davis.
Okay. Yep. Cam Davis. That guy's a beast.
I'm actually going to bet Keegan Bradley against my better judgment.
Major winner, FedEx Cup winner.
Doug Gim.
Terrible golf swing.
I don't think it's that bad. I just think he didn't have a lot of wrist cut.
He's kind of like,
It looks like a JB a little bit, actually.
Yeah, you're right.
Asian JB. Oh, Harry Higgs. I'm a big fan of the Harry.
Yeah,
he's got some moxie, and I've seen him. He didn't choke last time I saw him in contention. He was just he just got beat.
Yeah, which is fine. And there's a Harry Higgs over Cam Champ out there somewhere that if you're listening to this podcast, just go ahead and bet the fuck out of that.
Ooh,
was that not a drone? No.
Oh boy.
I haven't had a drone in 2021. Yeah,
I tell you, maybe that's a sick because we are doing better than ever. So far, early year.
No drone.
We had 1 year. We had last year. I think we had seven weeks in a row. We won.
Yeah. No, I mean, there might be a drone for the Masters. I don't know. I'm very particular with my drones. I don't like them to lose.
Yeah, I remember one.
Yeah, well, we all do. But the drones in general are way, way, way plus EV. So
okay.
All right. You have a head-to-head drop for us. We can just go through this real quick. Because we got to get out of here. We're pushing time here. I'm getting
tired. Okay. Head
to head. Got the head-to-head pod coming.
I have a two-unit head-to-head bet.
Whoa.
Yeah. Look, I'm fading Scottie Scheffler in this golf tournament. The dude basically exerted... I mean, he played a fucking 1,000 holes in 5 days. So I just don't really think that he should be. I mean, Finau, I'm looking at Finau minus 1.5, plus 110. Finau's floor is so high. We know he's going to top 20, the stupid fucking thing. So, you know, I give it – if Scotty can bounce back from all of that where he lost in the fucking finals to a shitty golfer and a shitty human being like fucking Billy Horschel, who doesn't tip his waiter and is like a complete cunt on the golf course, then Scotty Scheffler has to be tired dealing with fucking Billy Horschel. By the way, Billy Horschel, man, like what a terrible human that guy is. Just a bad person.
Interesting.
Some dude yells go Vols to him, and he's like, really, man? Really? Kick that guy out. Get that guy going. He'll go to Vols. Like, you went to Florida. What the fuck do you expect? You're on a PGA Tour. Shut the fuck up. Anyways, that's my rant for the week. Finau over him. Finau's just, I mean, he missed the cut at Honda, but Honda shit doesn't matter, bro. Like, Honda is, like, it's so fucking random there. So I'm not really worried about that. What do you think?
I'm fine with it. Let me get the backtrack and make sure exactly if you're correct.
I mean, the numbers would suggest that Finau is probably a slight favorite, but this is more of a fade on Scotty Scheffler's what he's put out over the last week.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like, I'm looking at a lot of green on his chart. I'm just wondering.
No, I mean, Scheffler's a monster. He should be WDing after a first round 75 and just getting ready to go play Augusta.
Okay.
Okay. So that's that. I'm on the Ryan Moore train. There are reports that this thing might get a little windy. Which Ryan Moore hits like low trap draws, so like that's fucking perfect for him, obviously. And he's playing Hadwin, who, if it's windy, this is like a correlated bet. If it's windy, Hadwin fucking sucks in the wind because he hits it like this. Like when his club hits the ball, the sound is.
Oh,
because he just good. He hits it like. Off the tee is like 260. So if it's windy, he's fucked. So minus 110. They have him as a pick. I have Moore as a substantial favorite. You can bet that all the way up to like minus 125. 120, 125.
My opinion. Like it.
Varner, your boy, our boy, Varner over Putnam. Another guy who bunts it.
Hey, JD, what is this alert here? This alert on the screen.
Oh, God. I don't know. Wait. We'll just go back here. Sorry. There we go.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, they're going to log me out. Varner over Putnam.
Varner over Putnam.
Yeah. I mean, it's just Putnam's is it as well. And Varner is an elite ball striker, minus 120. Lay the stroke in half, minus 120. You can play this all the way to, plus 120. You play it all the way to plus 105, minus 1.5.
Yeah.
Wise over Joel Damon. This is just your quintessential. You just won a fucking golf tournament. You haven't stopped drinking since Sunday night. Now you're going to go play another tournament. You're not going to do well. Wise has actually been playing decent golf. This is like Husky on Oregon crime, by the way, because Wise went to the shittiest school on the West Coast and to the best in University of Washington. So I don't love it for that reason, but Wise is just playing better, and Damon's a full fade after last week. And Damon missed like six out of seven cuts prior to winning last week. So, I think Damon is and great guy. Look at his story. Love Joel Damon. Go Huskies. This is the place we're going to fade him.
Okay.
Grace over Ricky Fowler. Ricky Fowler sucks at golf, and he is a terrible putter all of a sudden, and that was the only thing that really kept him around. Wouldn't be surprised if he is on the Corn Ferry Tour in 2 years. So, Ricky Fowler.
Oh, boy. Ricky, wow. I think he's made too much money.
Oh, good for him. And got married. That hurts you. Anytime you get married, you get fucked. You know, Brendan Grace coming off a W a couple weeks ago has played well over here. Plus 120. Played all the way to even money for me. Laying the stroke in half.
Is anybody betting Ricky? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, moving on. Higgs over Long. Harry Higgs is a beast. And Long is either missing cuts or getting top 10s. And that's the perfect guy that we want to fade in a full tournament head-to-head. Harry Higgs has gained strokes on approach in his last, I think, 8 in a row. So I like that floor with him. He at least has that iron playing floor. And, you know, Long is just his game is all over the place. Plus 105. He's actually a dog. Higgs is a dog to Long. I make him at least a one. I mean, like one. 115, 120, right in between there. Minus one to a favorite. So this is bettable all the way up to like minus 105.
Right.
Cool. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay. Let's see here.
That's all I got. Oh, a couple questions. Fading Kuchar. The problem with fading Kuchar is the only guy to fade Kuchar with is Zach Johnson that I see, and I'm not a big ZJ fan this week. So I'm not overly excited about backing Zach Johnson and Zach. Sorry, Zach. Eighth to Honda, gaining across the board. But, you know, prior to that, he really hit it like shit, but putted his ass off. Not the guy I'm trying to, you know, you can't gain 6.1 strokes on approach at the API, then or lose 6.1 and then lose 4 at the Players. I can't get behind you. Sorry.
All right.
But I'm sure there are matchups to do so. They're just not offered to me at this point.
Okay.
That's all we got.
All right. So is this part over?
No, the whole thing's over. We're not doing the question.
No, I'm saying that. No, this part of the pod.
No, yeah, we're done. I think we should cut it. We don't have enough questions. I'm exhausted.
Well, let's just do these. There's only like they're just basically redo the questions. Russ said he would join us in Vegas.
Let's go, Russie.
I think he might already be out there. Josh, he says, will you be there Saturday or Sunday?
No, Russie says he gets in the late afternoon. You around after night for a cocktail? I'd love to meet you, but yeah, come over to Caesars. I'll be at Caesars. That's where I'm staying. So yeah, just hit me up. You got my DMs? Hit me on the DMs. Slide on in, Rossi.
Cameron, why do you think Cam Smith will do well in the fall? I like Cam. I don't know. You think you're kind of down on him, Cam Smith?
I actually like Cam Smith. Why do you think Cam Smith did so well in the fall? Oh, we can just look at that. That's not bad. He's not in this field though. Let me see here. I think Cam Smith has turned his iron play around, and he's always been one of the better, you know, up and down guys on tour. When we look at his irons, I mean, you know, his whole thing has been, you know, he doesn't really get it done off the tee. He's always been an amazing short game guy.
Yeah,
but like, you know, 4.8 strokes on approach at the WGC Mexico, 4.4 at the Genesis, 2.3 at the Zozo. From the Zozo all the way back into the Northern Trust, so we're looking at, you know, two-month span, second at the Masters, which is pretty fucking good, and we don't have the strokes gained data for that, but you got to assume if you're second at the Masters, you probably gain strokes on approach, right? So he's kind of turned that game around. Now, he's awful off the tee. Like, he's not even a competent player. Like, I mean, I shouldn't say that. He gained 4 at the Sony, but generally speaking, he will lose strokes off the tee, but whatever he loses there, he gains around the greens, and if he's hitting his irons well enough,
he's there.
Guy that, I mean, 17th at the Players, 11th at the WGC Mexico, 4th at the Genesis, missed cut the Farmers, you know, 2nd at the Masters, 4th at the Zozo, 11th at the CJ Cup last year in the swing season. I just think I like his game. And you know what? I like his fucking rat tail. I think he looks funny. I like the room for him
because he looks like a bum. Growing. You got to tell him you're thinking about growing one? How about that?
It would look coming. More like a fuck. You remember like Jose Canseco in like the late 80s?
Yeah, baby.
That's what this would be.
Yeah. I'd say we go for it. I'd say if Bryson was the master, you'd grow a rat tail.
Oh, I need some money to do that.
Okay. Let's see. Thoughts on
the stats say Bryson is chipping better. I don't know.
I tell you what, his short game hasn't really been that bad.
The dude's good at everything.
Yeah, he's pretty good, bro.
He won the API game, 1.2 strokes around the green. You know, third of the Players game, 1.8 strokes around the green. You know, he at the U.S. Open, he gained 5 strokes around the green. I don't really think his chipping is an issue. The guy is good at everything. And obviously he's ultra elite off the tee. He's the best in the world. So
same thought process for fading Kuchar. Yes.
Yeah, we just need better. I don't want DJ. I want someone else.
Right. Let's see. Thoughts on Lanto?
I like Lanto this week. Let's look at Lanto. Let me see. Yeah, pops in the model. The price was a little aggressive, right? I think he was in like the 30s. What's that? You have to go a rat tail if Ricky wins this week. Exactly. I love it. Lanto at 50. Yeah, I don't mind Lanto at 50 at all. That will definitely get on my card. You know, gaining off the tee in his last five, which, you know, he's not an elite driver of the golf ball, where Lanto gets, you know, he makes his hay on approach, basically guaranteed to gain strokes on approach, which is, you know, what I love. A very solid putter. Yeah, I think Lanto's is fully in play this week.
I got you.
One and done. One and done. I think I'm going to answer.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. Yeah, this is a great time to get those guys you like, and you know, probably not gonna win a bigger tournament.
No. Yeah, I like answer. Even I mean, shit, Lanto's a decent look too. But yeah, I like answer. So that's probably my one and done. All right. Well, can we take some Mitch Pacman to get us out of this thing? I gotta go. I'm running against a deadline here.
By popular demand,
the hit single.
Hit me up. It's on all platforms.
Real quick, by the way, next week, full content out of your ass. It's going to be insane. Let's just throw that out there real quick.
Yes. By popular demand, this is my single, Miss Pac-Man. It's on all platforms.
Download.
Please. Hey, if you really mess with me and JD, look, go download it off my site. Obviously, it's $1. Look. You know they only give us like 3 cents or 0.03 cents on Spotify, whatever. I'd appreciate it. I put a lot of hard work. I do a streaming on YouTube too. If you guys want to watch me make weird songs, it's Pac-Man, me and JD. Thanks for tuning in. Like, subscribe, repeat. What is that? Review. Oh, review. Don't forget, JD's review. Still giving that one free roll for the guy who reviews.
Oh yeah, you want a free bet? Fucking A. If you want a free $10 bet, a review, put it in my DMs. The first person, you get a $10 bet on anyone you want for the Masters, not for this shitty tournament, for the Masters.
Screenshot.
Yep.
Free $10 bet. Make a review. You share
it in my DMs. I'll give you a free $10 bet on anyone you want.
That's
pretty, don't care. For the Masters, not this shit.
It's Pac-Man. Here we go.
Hey.
They're calling Miss Pac-Man, cause she be gobbling lights. Cause all she wants is attention. Say everything is a sight. Say all she do is post pictures, trying to get a new follower. Man, they call them influencers, but that ain't all they be calling them. Checking her phone like a crackhead, trying to get her next fix. Say how many pictures you posted. Say MLS count, I had 6. Hey girl, you're doing the most, but tell me how much it cost you. I see that bracket you told her, but tell me, is that all I taught you? If she could catch a baller, it would be so ballerific. If he could be 6'5" or taller, that would be terrific. Now I know she being picky, I mean too specific. She gotta catch a baller formula like scientific. Confessional, but this got her looking outstanding. But her number one concern is about her new branding. Her credit score is poor, it's not in good standing. Her ego is the only thing that I can see expanding. Miss Pac-Man only really cares about her followers. Miss Pac-Man posting right now, say, do you follow her? Miss Pac-Man wants to make sure that you know her name. But if you play Miss Pac-Man, you know you can't beat the game. Miss Pac-Man only really cares about her followers. Miss Pac-Man posting right now, say, do you follow her? Miss Pac-Man wants to make sure that you know her name. But if you play Miss Pac-Man, you know you can't beat the game. Being honest, man, I'm really feeling kinda nervous for you. Posting pictures every 30 minutes, what's the purpose for you? You getting crazy likes and mentions, and it's dropping in your DM. You can't see the true intentions, you too blind to see them. I want everyone to know my name. Is that so bad, then what's the shame? I just wanna go get the bag. Why you trying to make me feel bad? You stay on Clubhouse, long time, it's been 24 hours. And you can get that cash app ready, man, forget them flowers. And all you ever gonna change, she said, I'll see about it. I can change whenever I want, I said, I highly doubt it. She just posted a busted challenge, man, I know she killed it. And she just got 1,000 likes, I know she thinks she winning. Infatuated by the ass, I know the way you're
city, but she ain't ever gonna change. I guess that she's committed. Oh, damn. Miss Pac-Man only really cares about her followers. Miss Pac-Man posting right now, say, do you follow her? Miss Pac-Man wants to make sure that you know her name. But if you play Miss Pac-Man, you know you can't beat the game.
Yeah, baby.
Hey. All right. Yo. Peace out, everyone.
Peace out.